If I were to ask you tonight to describe for me your house, most of you would probably talk about the beautiful door, maybe the garden, the flower garden that was out front. Maybe you'd describe for me that it was one or two stories, or it was brick, or it was made of wood, or it was in this beautiful location, or whatever it might be. But very few of you would probably ever tell me how solid of a foundation it had. You probably wouldn't describe that to me. You probably wouldn't go on and on about how flat and level and how much work was put into the foundation of the house. Probably not. Because that's not what you think of necessarily first when you think of a house. When you think of any building, you don't think, boy, praise God, that's a great foundation on that house. Yet, you know, we hear a lot on the radio about foundation repair and things that have gone wrong. So we know that it's out there. We just don't think about it a lot because it's not really something we see. You know, it gets done and then it's done and then there's a house on top of it. And that's about it. But, you know, there are so many things that go into that foundation. There are footers that had to be dug in the ground. There's plumbing and pipes and there's electrical conduit that goes through the foundation and comes up in all the areas of your house and all these things. And yet, without that, none of the rest of the house would stand. None of it would work. None of it would work. So tonight I want to talk to you about marriage foundations, and not just in the sense of just the first things that you do, but the actual foundation, the solidness, the base, if you will, of it. So let's start by looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. I'm reading from the New American Standard tonight. You'll find that's usually what I'll be using, just for your own edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed. Okay, let's stop. As a result of what? Let's go back to verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We're talking about a building here. We're building something up. Then, here we go. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Hallelujah. See this wall here? This nice brick wall? A car, an SUV came through this wall, a few years ago, crashed through that wall. And you know, really, the wall didn't move that much. It did get cracked and they did have to rebuild it, but that wall held very firmly. But it's because of each joint that worked together, holding itself together, and this mortar in between here held each brick in place so that the entire wall became as one solid piece, not just individual pieces. And that's exactly what he's saying here. As the body of Christ, and you can also think of this as your own marriage unit. You guys, even though you're a brick and she's a brick and you're a brick, together you're held together by what God is doing in marriage. It's a covenant thing, and it becomes one solid piece that works together. So you can't continue to think in terms of just necessarily your independence. Because this is a together thing. This is a body of Christ thing. If you compare the body of Christ or even your marriage to this brick building, you would find that the bricks would topple if they weren't joined together with that kind of mortar. And that mortar, we could say, represented by the Word of God tonight. The concrete mortar forms those bricks into that solid wall. Yet, even a solid brick wall is of no value unless it sits on a solid foundation. You could take this wall as solid as it is and sit it out in a pasture somewhere, and it's going to fall over and be of no value. Or maybe one side of it would sink, and then it would crack and fall apart. It still has to be on a solid foundation. So what is a foundation? What are we talking about? A foundation, and I know this might seem like simple terms, and you have to forgive me, please. My background is architecture. I enjoyed and did well and excelled at mechanical drafting, architectural drafting, and civil engineering. That was my cup of tea way back in the day. That's what I did. So I understand buildings. I understand foundations. I understand cross sections of foundations and wall systems and electrical. I drew them. I made them. I understand that. I had the training to do that before I ever came to know Christ and gave my heart to Him. That's what I was doing. So I understand how this works. And a foundation is a platform or a base on which to build. Now you got to get this. It's a very important starting point. The foundation has to be built first, because it is the thing that holds the entire structure together. It is the platform. It is the platform. You might even consider it a barrier of protection from what is below. You can take that in a lot of different ways. But there are things that try to get to your structure. But if they can't come through the foundation, they're not going to get to your structure. Your foundation has to be solid and sure. More time and money can be spent in the foundation to ensure that the entire structure is ready to be built and will be solid. You can spend a lot of time and money just on the foundation. Take the Bass Performance Hall in downtown Fort Worth, for instance. They built that building, and they built it in such a way that they call it a 300-year structure. Meaning they put extra effort into the foundation, extra effort into the cornerstones, and all of the material that was used to construct it. It's a 300-year building, meaning that they anticipate that easily it will last at least 300 years from the time it was built. Well, you don't just normally see your average building lasting 300 years, and you wouldn't anyway because you won't be here, but we do see examples of other folks that did that. We see all kinds of ancient things that we call ancient ruins that are still really stronger than some of the brand new things we built today. There's synagogues, there's Stonehenge, there's places all over, everywhere. You see the pyramids, you see the Mayan temples and the ruins and all these things that we call ruined, and really they're more solid than most of our houses. They've been there a long time. Why are they there a long time? Because it's a solid base. They really put the prep work in and did it. And they're still here today. The people are gone, but the structure's still there. And that is leading into what I'm talking to you about. We got to get out of this mindset that this is just about us and me right now. Because this is a generational thing. My kids have to get this. And their kids have to get it. And their kids have to get it. And their kids have to get it long after I'm gone. This is a generational thing. And the Word of God, the foundation of God, the righteousness of God, and His instruction on the earth has to continue long past just what we're doing right now. But it can't be superseded by what we're doing right now, because we are the ones building the foundation that the others are going to continue to build on. And maybe for you, like it was for me, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have Sunday school. I didn't do any of those things. So for me, where did my foundation begin? My foundation began with salvation. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Another way to say that is that foundation I had before Christ got busted up, and He built me a new one. Just built me. He poured me a new foundation, filled with all the strength and the rebar and all the stuff that it takes to make it solid. And He gave me a new start in Christ right from the beginning. So that's what I'm building on now, but it also has to be maintained. It has to be maintained. A foundation is one of the most important things that you'll never see. You know, the Bible says that you don't see the wind, but you do see the results of it. If you look out here on a windy day and you see the leaves blowing across the parking lot, you don't see the wind, but you do see everything that the wind affects. You do see the leaves going by and the dust and the stuff. And that's just like this foundation. You know, people may never see your marriage foundation, but they'll see you stand up. They'll see your marriage last. They'll see the righteousness of God manifest in your home. And when they come into your house, they'll say, man, it's so peaceful here. That's what I'm talking about when I talk to you two guys tonight. And I said, when I see you, you're happy. And I understand. Maybe happiness isn't there all the time. I know. But when I see them, I think they're happy. Well, that's a result of a foundation being true in that area. Amen. Always value the importance of a strong foundation. When building a large structure, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars could go into work on something that you'd never see. Besides the obvious concrete, there's all the huge pipes and the long cables and the deep footers and all the stuff that goes in underground before anything ever happens. I remember watching this as they built the school over here. If you're ever tempted to fudge a bit on a foundation, any good architect will always jump in and caution you and say, nothing is more important than the foundation. Don't skimp here. Don't skimp here. So here are five things to consider about foundations and marriage. A good foundation is essential to the health and well-being of a building. And it's also essential for the health and well-being of a marriage. Your marriage has to have a solid foundation. Has to. It's essential. It's not optional, it's essential. The second thing is, a building cannot withstand much stress or pressure without a solid foundation. And a marriage cannot withstand the storms of life without a solid foundation. Things will come to test your marriage. You say, well, my marriage is great. Well, praise the Lord. Mine is too. That doesn't mean that challenges won't come. You've got to focus on the solidness of the foundation. Amen. Or, oh me. Number three. A building's entire strength depends on the strength of its foundation. The strength of the whole structure is useless without the strength of the foundation. There's a direct connection. The strength of your marriage depends on the quality and the strength of what you lay down first. I think this is four. The greater a building's height, the greater the importance of its foundation. You remember watching some of the buildings in downtown Fort Worth, even some that they're putting up now. Some of those tall buildings. You notice, I think they spent a year or more just working on the foundation. And they dig down deep, 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 and pour a lot of concrete. A lot of concrete. Because they know that the height of that building is going to far outweigh that, and they've got to have the strength and the stableness of what's down below to hold it up. Well, if you're planning on your marriage going any higher or further than it is now, and you better, or you're going to have to deal with me. You've got to have that foundation. The higher you want your marriage to go, the greater the importance it is that you choose the structure of your foundation. And the foundation of a great building is not readily visible, yet it is essential. And I want you to walk away from here tonight knowing that. Even though it's not seen, you will reap the benefits or the detriment of what you put into it. Amen. Also consider this. Now, I'm going to meddle a little bit. Will you let me?
Yes.
And not throw anything at me? I started thinking about foundations too, and I started thinking about foundations of other things, and I got on this thought of trees. And you've all seen them, you know, you've seen these cutaway views of, you know, the drawing of here's the trunk of this massive tree coming out of the ground and the limbs and the leaves and the branches and all the stuff. But then you also see below the ground is this root system, this structure that many, many times the root structure is much larger than what's above. Much larger. Has to be. Well, what can you learn from that? Well, besides the obvious things, I wanted to point this out. Just like trees, now I'm going to meddle. I told you I was going to meddle. Just like trees, foundations don't move. And we've had some movement. There's a difference between a solid foundation home and a mobile home. Now, I know some of you live in a mobile home. And I know some of you live in a modular home. And I know that some of you live in apartments. And I know that some of you live in houses. I personally grew up in a single-wide mobile home most of my life. I know what mobile homes are like, too. And there is a difference between the house that I'm in now with a solid concrete foundation and the mobile home that I grew up in. Now, the benefit of the mobile home is that it's mobile. You can hook up a truck to that thing, put some wheels back on it, and take it somewhere else. The detriment of it is that you can hook up a truck to it, put some wheels on it, and take it somewhere else and never maintain a solid foundation. I'd rather have the solid foundation. So for all of you in mobile homes, we're going to believe God for houses.
Amen.
And lands.
Yes.
And solid foundations. Have you ever seen a really strong 5 or 6 story mobile home? There's a reason for that. There's no foundation for it. They try to make up for it by having those steel beams under there and they weld them together and all that. But you know, why does it always seem when the tornado comes, it hits the trailer park? It's not that it hits the trailer park. It's that that's the first thing that gets detached and goes. And we've seen right here in our great state of Texas, some would call it the great country of Texas, we've seen horrific tornadoes come through our state, and we've seen them wipe out these giant swaths of land and go through where there were neighborhoods, where there were beautiful homes, and we've even seen all of the structure of that home completely wiped out, and even the carpet and the tile peeled off the foundation and removed completely, but the foundation was still there. And you could build again. And I don't know, maybe in your marriage situation, you might feel like that sometimes. Maybe you feel like the tornado's come through, or there's been some storm or something that's disrupted what you had going. Maybe it's damaged your building, the building of your marriage. Maybe something's happened. But if you will maintain the foundation, you can always build the structure again. Always. But if you don't have the foundation, you got to start all over again. Got to start all over again. The right ingredients ensure the proper hardness of that foundation. And there's a whole science to this. How much limestone? How much sand? How much water? How much of this? All these ingredients that go together to make the right kind of concrete, depending on what that foundation is going to do. Some foundations have to flex a little bit under high winds. Flex a little bit. But not be so sharp and edgy that they crack. There's a whole science to that. Some of those ingredients for your marriage you might recognize. They might go something like this: righteousness, purity, holiness, prayer, commitment, faithfulness, obedience, and trust, to name a few. Those are some of the ingredients that God wants us to pour in together to make this foundation. And I'll tell you this, individual godly foundations, I'm talking about individual. So, like, say, Seth, your individual foundation. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your individual foundation prepares you to have a good marriage foundation. And we could go further and say that your marriage foundation, okay, so now you're together. You are together, right? You are together, okay. Your marriage, the foundation that you're building together, now that foundation prepares you, let's use y'all for example. Your marriage foundation prepares you for a family foundation. That's where the kiddos come along. Because it gets important here, because you're the one that instigates and starts and creates and helps the children build their foundation. You start. If Miriam and I were just totally living a crazy life of sin and out and weren't in church, there's probably little chance that Josh and Brooke would be here doing what they're doing. Because one thing sparks another. And let's go a little further. Can we go a little further? The family foundation, here's where we're going. The family foundation prepares you for a church foundation. And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, one thing feeds the next, and we're saying that, but what I feel in my heart, I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart. What I feel in my heart this year, and I don't mean this year because we went from 2013 to 2014 and we're lean and mean in 2014 and all these things. That's not what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's January. I'm talking about this season in our church life. Regardless of what time it is, regardless of what year it is, this is a season of growth for our church. And it would be easy for you to think or to say that that's not necessarily so because of what I see. But keep in mind, we're not talking about something that we necessarily see. We're talking about a foundation that's been working a long time. Okay? We're talking about something that is solid, something that's not wavering. We're talking about something that can withstand lots of pressure. So maybe we've had some pressure. Okay? We've had some pressure. So maybe we've had some folks that had mobile homes take their mobile homes and decide to find another plot of land. Okay? We still have a solid foundation. Conquerors Club is a solid foundation. Your marriage can be a solid foundation. But as the individual person goes, so goes the marriage. So goes the expansion to a family. So goes the expansion to the church. God's purpose will be fulfilled on this earth. And this, I'm just declaring that this is a season of growth, whether you see it readily or not. Because there are going to be people, just like I spoke to Billy Rogers earlier, there's going to be people just like him and just like you, that you're going to face a challenge, you're going to meet the challenge, and you're going to make the right choice, and you're going to manifest change, and we're going to see growth because of it. And that's why I can confidently say to Billy that because of these things that the Lord spoke, that he's going to succeed, that his business is going to go up and not down. that his marriage is going to be stronger and not weaker, that he's going to have more money and not less. I'm not just flippantly saying that. I'm saying it because it has to do with the word of the Lord. And I'm sure you're familiar with Psalm 11:3. And I didn't just pick this verse because it had the word foundation in it. I know you could look at it topically, but it does make sense. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's a good question. And I always like to kind of turn that around and say, what if the foundations are not destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, it works both ways. But I'm telling you, many things will try to break your foundation. They'll try to break your belief system, your faith. And I've just been concentrating on these three things: faith, family, and friends. And I don't just mean Facebook friends. But do you know, your faith will be challenged. Your family will be challenged, and your friends will be challenged. It will happen. The foundations of your life will be challenged. Foundations of your marriage will be challenged. The foundations of your church will be challenged. The foundations of Christianity itself will be challenged. And it is happening. We need to be prepared for the attack of the enemy. It's real. And that's why you need to be strong in the Lord. That's why you need to be strong in His Word. When I stand up here month after month and I'm encouraging you to read the Word of God, it's not just because I'm throwing useless words out there. It's because I know that if what you have can be shaken, it will be shaken. And you've got to stand on the Word. This is real life. You've got to be a carrier of God's Word. It's the only way you'll be able to spot the counterfeit. If you don't know the word, you're not going to be able to spot the counterfeit and the enemy's attack. You've got to maintain your Christianity and your marriage foundation. And it's up to you. I was talking to, I think, Lori West about this, and she mentioned that, you know, just like we're always told, if you want to maintain your foundation, you've got to water it. They tell us to water it. And sometimes they even say, you've heard of this, they say if you really want to just really maintain it, then you put a soaker hose all the way around the perimeter of your foundation. Well, we need a little soaking. We need a little saturation. We need a little Holy Ghost saturation. We need more of the presence of God that we allow in. It's up to you to water your foundation and keep it safe. Safe from what? How about adultery and sin? And how about false religions like Calvinism, who's bringing its ugly head all over? Do you recognize it? Can you see it? It's everywhere. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And if you didn't get that, he goes on in verse 9 to just say it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've received, let him be accursed. There's things that will rise up to challenge. We've got to watch over our own hearts with all diligence. We've got to keep them. Now, this will sound like a good Snopes project, if you're familiar with Snopes, which is a website that debunks false statements and things like that. And I've looked this up all kinds of ways, and it's not on Snopes, and it's a real story, and you might have heard about it. There's a satanic group unveiling a 7-foot statue of Satan that they would like to put at the Oklahoma State Capitol, right where the Ten Commandments monument is placed. It was placed there in 2012. It is real. The renderings and the drawings are there. It hasn't met final approval yet, but they've already got funding for it, and it's mostly funded at this point. It's a New York-based satanic temple that wants to do this, and it depicts, this is a statue, not a drawing, not a painting. This is a full 3D statue, a giant 7-foot thing, that depicts Satan as a goat-headed figure with horns, wings, and a long beard. You know, the same symbol that's used so many times in the occult. And Satan is sitting here in this thing in a pentagram-adorned crown and all this. And they've stated that the monument has been designed to reflect the views of Satanists. And the statue will also have a functional purpose as a chair where people of all ages may sit on the lap of Satan for inspiration and contemplation. It sounds like it would be fake. And it would be more laughable if it weren't really true, and it would be even more laughable if it wasn't already funded and well on the way to actually happening. Representative Don Arms in Oklahoma said, "I think we need to be more tolerant of people who think different than us." So you've got that kind of a thing that crops its ugly head up. That's a challenge to Christianity. And then last time we met, I stood right here and talked to you about the LGBT crowd. You remember that? You remember what that is? That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. As if it wasn't more complicated already, now you've got all these other categories. It's another attack at the very heart of Christianity. It's an attack against the marriage unit itself. We're way past the point when we're talking about questioning whether it should be one man and one woman. It raises all these other questions. And it basically is just like saying, has God really said that it's this way, that the Bible is true, that it's this? You know, he has really said. And if we allow that foundation to crack, to crumble, and we can't accurately pass on that foundation to the next generation and so on, that's a world of hurt. We've got to stand up. I got a really cool example of a boat anchor. I was thinking about this. I thought it's kind of neat because when you carry, like a ship carries around this anchor, while it's being carried, it's a mobile thing. It can be carried around. But then when you drop anchor, it stabilizes you because it's stationary. So in essence, you hold the anchor and then the anchor holds you. And the anchor in this case is the Word of God. You can carry this around and it's a mobile thing. I can have it with me. I can carry it in my heart, I can memorize it, I can have it in my mind, it can affect me, it can affect my marriage. And maybe I don't have to drop anchor all the time, but when the occasion comes and the attack comes and the foundation is being threatened, I can drop anchor and believe this in a new and fresh way. I can point to this, I can stand on this, I can quote this. I think it's interesting that in the book of Revelation 21, there's a whole story in here. I don't have time to go into all of it. But basically, the Bible goes on to describe this wonderful city, this new Jerusalem city with these, it says it's 1,500 miles this way and this way. It's this cubed city. It's huge and has these gigantic walls and pearl gates that are always open. And there's no need of electricity in the place because the Lamb is the light and all of these things. It doesn't need some alternate power source because he is the power and he lights it up. And then it goes on and describes that all of that stuff is sitting on this foundation. The foundation stones of the city in verse 19, it says, were adorned with every kind of precious stone. And it talks about the first foundation stone was jasper and the second sapphire. Now keep in mind, this is a big place. We're not talking about a jasper or a sapphire like you'd go and see it in the jeweler's case. And here's a little sapphire on a table. We're talking about the foundation of a city that's 1,500 miles squared. And gold that's transparent. Even the ruler that the guy, the measuring stick ruler that the guy walked around with to show him this was made of gold. And it goes on and talks about all these things. And maybe you think your marriage foundation doesn't even come close to all that. I mean, that's awfully fancy and awfully expensive. In fact, a lot of you would fall into the category tonight thinking your marriage foundation needs repair. Maybe you're in the category of somebody that needs foundation repair. The good news is you're in the right place. If I could do my own advertisement, I guess. If your foundation is crumbling, there is hope. You can get foundation repair. Call 1-800-GET-GOD. Hey, man. Okay, there are some principles that if you practice them, will help you build that marriage foundation. And the first is commitment. It's not a popular word these days, that word commitment. We tend to want to shun that. Our society emphasizes so much individual rights, personal freedom and mobility, as we've talked about. The idea of giving these kind of things up because of dedication to another person makes a lot of people just feel trapped. But you cannot have it both ways. You cannot build this divorce-proof marriage and remain unbending toward your personal rights. It doesn't mean that you're going to give up your freedoms. It doesn't mean that any of that. But it does mean that your commitment to your relationship supersedes your individual rights. If you want this to work. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, if you want it to work. So commitment means putting your spouse's needs above your own. Instead of becoming irritated and disappointed that your needs may not be getting met the way you thought, how about becoming satisfied when you focus on your spouse's needs and how you can meet them? That's commitment. That's commitment. How about communication? Someone once said that communication is to love as blood is to the body. Take the blood out of the body and it dies. Take communication away from your relationship and it's gone. I'm not just talking about the kind of communication where you're exchanging information. It's sharing with each other your feelings and your hurts and your grievances and the things you're satisfied and the things you're not satisfied. It's living life, actually trusting and relying on and believing and living with your spouse. And sometimes that means that you have to get below the surface and examine the hows and the whys of daily life. It's just real life. And I think we all know, and research certainly backs it up, that women do have a greater ability, and they call it linguistically, women have a better shot at talking and relaying their thoughts and feelings and emotions than men do. They just do. They express their feelings and thoughts far better. Every knowledgeable marriage counselor will tell you that the inability or unwillingness of husbands to reveal their feelings is one of the chief complaints of wives. And like conflict resolution, communication is certainly a learned skill. And it's often hard work. You've got to watch your words. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I just said that words are containers. They're just like shipping containers. They contain life or they contain death. They contain love or hatred. And when you send your words out there, when it gets to where it's going, they're going to open it up and get what was in that word. So we need to watch our words, not just that we're sending them, but what's in them. And we all have to get better at that. I don't have that mastered. You could ask her. You could sit her down for 5 minutes and she'd tell you. Well, maybe she wouldn't, but she might. Patience. We live in an instant world. Solid state hard drives, ATMs, smartphones, online bill pay, microwave popcorn, you name it. But you can't heat up a marriage in the microwave. Doesn't work that way. Relationships don't work that way, and marriage takes time and it takes care to become a beautiful thing. And that means learning patience. Amen. If you're willing to sit tight and hang in there and exercise patience, your marriage can improve and be that wonderful thing you want it to be. Amen. Strong beliefs. You know, we are more than just this bundle of feeling and physical sensations. There's an inner core to our being and an eternal part of who we are that represents the permanent aspect of marriage. And research does show that couples with strong religious beliefs are far more likely to stay together than those without them. It's the shared morals and values that hold a husband and wife together. And that's part of that solid foundation. For Miriam and me, our Christian faith has been part of that bedrock, that foundation of our relationship. And we understand that our 24 plus years of marriage would not be possible without the guidance of God's word and the direction, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, all of those things. Because, like I said, we're not some different set of people than you are. We face the same things. We face surgeries with children. We face hard economic times. We face tough decisions. On and on and on. The same stuff. Not everything turns out the way we thought, the way we wanted it to go. We have to pray things through. We have to believe things through. But if you give up that foundation, it's so hard. God wanted us to have this foundation because he wanted it to be easier for us. Because he wanted us to be able to stand the test of time. Don't let go of the things that you know. This is foundation. The things you know. All right, I'm going to read you one last thing. And this is just something I found interesting, and I'm sure many of you have heard this. I just saw this again and thought it was kind of fun. Back in April of 1965, Paul Harvey wrote this and read it on the radio. And it's simply called, If I Were the Devil. There have been several versions of this. People have rewritten this and published it like it was him and all this. I went back and found the closest one that I could find to the one that he actually wrote. And here it goes. If I were the Prince of Darkness, I would want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I would not be happy until I seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I should set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is square. In the ears of the young married, I would whisper that work is debasing, that cocktail parties are good for you. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion or patriotism or in moral conduct. And the old I would teach to pray, to say after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. This is April of 1965. I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd infiltrate unions and urge more loafing and less work. Idle hands usually work for me. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Let those run wild. I'd designate an atheist to front for me before the highest courts, and I'd get preachers to say, "She's right." With flattery and promises of power, I would get the courts to vote against God and in favor of pornography. Thus, I would evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, then from the houses of Congress. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. I would convince the world that people are born homosexuals and that their lifestyles should be accepted and marveled. I would persuade people that church is irrelevant and out of date and the Bible is for the naive. I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. Then, in his own churches, I'd substitute psychology for religion and deify science. If I were Satan, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. If I were Satan, I guess I'd pretty much leave things the way they are. Kind of telling. You know, it's things like that that we see the reality of that in everyday life. And we know that it's a direct attack against the foundation of Christianity, against the home, against marriage. It's not just one man, one woman anymore. It's whatever. Whatever, whenever, however, whoever, doesn't even matter. I'm telling you, the very foundational things of our life are being challenged and shaken like never before. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd be amiss if I didn't stand here and tell you that you need to be on your guard. You need to be watchful. You need to be diligent. You need to be in the Word of God. And I know we're not rah-rah-ree and shaking pom-poms and all happy, but I'm telling you, this is the kind of thing that will save your marriage and cause your marriage to accelerate. And we need that. We need that not just for you, because of you. This church needs that. Your families need that. The generations to come need that. Like I said, this is not just about what we're doing right now at this point in time. This has to continue. Soul-winning ministry is happening this week. But it's not just happening this week. We need it to happen the next week and the next week and the next year. And the next 10 years, it needs to be something that's caught, something that's captured, something that's, it's not just something that's on the schedule, but it's a lifestyle. Yes. And I'm not just promoting that. I'm saying the same thing about service to your church, service to your fellow man, love and respect for your wife. This is not something that we should even consider to be optional, something that we'll sit by on the sidelines, and if I get tapped, then I'll go in. This should be something that we want to, include in our daily lives. I want your marriage to be strong. I want your family to be strong. But I want the next generation to be strong. And it's not going to be if we're not. I want to pray for you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit our marriages to you. God, we say, work in us. Help us. We receive the strength of your word and the Holy Ghost in our marriages. God, we need you in our lives. We need you in our individual lives. We need you in our marriage life. We need you in our church life. God, I'm asking you to do a generational work in these people. Emphasize, Father God, in our hearts the significance of generations to come. This is something, God, that we see so often in the Word of God, and yet it doesn't seem very prevalent these days. But God, help us to get back to the reality of the Word of God and how it affects us and generations to come. Oh God, do a work in our hearts tonight, I pray. So that it's not just that we have a happy marriage now. We want that and we call for that too. But God, we pray that you would so build a firm foundation in our individual lives, in our marriage life, that it would just totally and completely revolutionize the stationary foundation of this church. That growth would occur in a supernatural way because of the faith of these people. God, we reach out to you. We say, God, do it. Do it in us, Lord. Do a work in us. Do a work in this church. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I thank you before I even see all the results. I thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every marriage here tonight, God, that you would turn hearts. If there are issues or problems or interruptions and feelings and all of these things, I just speak the peace of Almighty God to marriages right now in Jesus' name. I release my faith now for every marriage in here that the peace of God would rule in their hearts and their minds through Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, minds be healed, emotions be healed, be fixed in the name of Jesus. God, help us. We reach out to you. We say we can't do it on our own. We trust and rely on you, God. The things we don't understand and the things we do understand, God, we reach out and rely on you right now. I speak the strength of Almighty God to these marriages in the name of Jesus. For now and generations to come, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it now. I release my faith now. Amen. 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 Amen.